Well, great. It's really, really exciting to be back, actually.
Mm.
And I know you're looking, your usual nice selves, but Jan and I are delighted to be back. We really are. And I hadn't realised it was quite so long ago, but there you go. And we shouldn't really have sung that song before I had to get up to speak. Because here I am crying in tears because those words are so beautiful and so powerful. And Jan and I know we agree on 100 million failures disappear.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know, I am so excited. I'm sorry to say it's not because I'm here. But I am so excited. Because you know what next Sunday is, don't you? Next Sunday is the first of the four Sundays that the church calls Advent. Advent simply means coming, okay? And so Advent is coming, or Christmas is coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, we live in this consumerist society where Christmas is usually coming in January for the next Christmas. So by this time, we're saying, oh yeah. And apparently Black Friday looks like not being a very successful Black Friday next week. So if you haven't bought it now, you probably won't get it because they can't get enough. We live in a mad, mad world at the moment, don't we? But I am excited, not because Christmas is coming, although Jan and I are going to have a great Christmas. Our youngest son and his wife and as yet unborn child, she's due to give birth to their daughter in January.
Early January.
It's going to be an exciting Christmas. We have doctors standing by. The hospital emergency team are ready to come.
No,
they're
not.
No, I hope not. But we're going to have a great Christmas. But I'm not excited about Christmas even. No. I'm excited because this is not just Advent of the coming child, Jesus, who comes to save. This is about the coming King who comes to judge. Advent is the two things, actually. And have you noticed? I confess I haven't noticed particularly, but you see, we have a coming God. He's not a God who's out there somewhere and sort of distant and disinterested. Somebody, I couldn't find this reference, I'm really annoyed that I couldn't, but somewhere somebody will tell me. Some people thought that God was rather like a watchmaker. He made this beautiful thing, wound it up, and he's left the palace. That's not our God. Our God is a coming God. He came in creation, Genesis 1, and he saw that it was good. And then he comes back into the garden to look for Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, it says. And he says, where are you? What an interesting question. And then to Moses he comes. He comes to set his people free from their dreadful enslavement in Egypt. And then the Old Testament records prophecy after prophecy, prophet after prophet, declaring God's word, sent by God to deliver encouragement and warning to his people. He kept coming. Even when they took no notice, he kept coming. This is our God, a coming God. And then, from the Old Testament to the New Testament is nearly 400 years. And during that period, we are led to believe that heaven was silent. Isn't that amazing? Heaven was silent. And I just imagine that heaven was suddenly breathless because God was about to put in action his great plan for salvation for the world, and they were waiting to see. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds good to me. But then came the angel Gabriel, announcing God's plan for moving into action to save his people. And then 34 years later, after a world-changing ministry, Jesus returns to heaven. But no, he sends his Holy Spirit at Pentecost because he's a coming God. And now, from Pentecost onward, he sent his Spirit to prepare the way for the coming King. No longer coming to save, but this is the God coming to judge. You know, our God is no absent father. He's a very present help in trouble. He is, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us now. Where two or three are gathered, he's there in our presence. If you have come to Jesus and sought to follow him, he's in you by his Spirit. He is not some distant God. Sometimes it may feel that way, but then our feelings are not a good judgment of what reality is. Have you noticed that in the last 2 years? Don't judge the book by its cover. Don't judge things by how you feel about them. And God comes. But you know what? I kept going back to this question. Jan, when I always talk to Jan, as you know, she's much wiser than I. And I talked to her about this, and she said, yeah, that's a question, isn't it? Where are you? And I thought, that's the question for us. For me, where am I with the Lord now? Our preoccupations have been rent asunder, haven't they? All our promises, all the way we do church has been absolutely challenged in every sort. And suddenly, we're no longer thinking so much about the other person, but ourselves. Where am I now with the Lord? And I thought, well, am I like Adam, the first Adam, and am I hiding from God? I say that because I think sometimes we do just that. Or are you caught up in the awe of the Christmas crib, just as the shepherds are, and you can't see anything else? Like my dog this morning got the scent of a rat, and he couldn't see anything else. He couldn't hear me, he couldn't see me. I had to grab him and pull him out. We can get preoccupied with so much that's going on here that we don't see what's going on there. And I just wonder, maybe you are pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of you, as Paul admonishes the Philippian church. Yes, I hope you are. I hope I would. I hope I am. But am I? But you know, the most important thing I thought today is none of that. Am I really believing and waiting and prepared and even ready for Jesus to come again? I can sing all these lovely words, and we've sung some fantastic songs, thank you. Okay. And the words of those songs make you cry, because if we really believe that, brothers and sisters, my God, he's coming, he certainly is, and we had better get ready. Because if we don't get ready, who on earth will? What's our purpose in life is to get ready for Christ to come again. And what's he want? He wants fruit. He wants the harvest in. He's holding back simply because the harvest isn't big enough. That's our God. He wants all to be saved. So, He's coming and he's coming soon. But are we living in that way? Are we living in that imminent truth? You're preparing for Sunday lunch already. Maybe you'll come before that. Probably not, but you never know. I've never been a prophet. But are we really ready for him to come? That's the issue, I think. And of course the passage, because we sang the song at the beginning of the service, it's beautiful, that song. And the passage I'm going to turn to now is the passage that from Thessalonians. You know the background, but the Thessalonians saw that Jesus would come immediately, and they wondered where he was. And when some of their strong believers in the faith were dying and he wasn't coming yet, they were worried about, well, where are they? Are they going to be saved? Will he come back for them? Well, they're not here anymore. And so Paul wrote these words. He said, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death." That's how they would talk about as Christians. When you die, you don't die, you go to sleep, which is lovely. That's their term. "So that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep." Wow. We know this, we've read this. You know, you say, "John, I know that passage." Of course you do. But you know, how many times do we have to read it before actually sometimes God is able to speak through it? I say that to me as much as to you, okay? "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh dear. If that's you encouraged, we are in trouble already, aren't we? Yeah, I know what you mean. You shouldn't shout back at preachers. It's not on, is it? It's not English. It's not British. Goodness me, you shouldn't get excited. Goodness me. But you notice, okay, let's go to the text. Paul starts off in verse 14. He says, "We believe that." I love that. You see, we believe. Do you know, when we talk about, do you think Ipswich is going to stay up? I believe they will. What's that based on? Not a lot. Your fantasy. Sorry. Oh, we could have a fight going on up here, wouldn't we? We believe, you know, the trouble is the word is so abused in the English language because it doesn't actually explain or describe what actually we believe Paul is saying here. The believe is trusting everything. Your whole weight, your whole life on these facts. That's we believe when Paul says that. We trust this, okay? And then he goes on to tell us what he believes. That Jesus died and rose again. Don't we? And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That's an encouragement to them then. And perhaps it's an encouragement to you now. You know, last week I understand you had some time, obviously, as everybody else did, in remembrance, but you also remembered some of the people that you missed in the last 2 years and couldn't go to be with their families and friends at the funerals. Do you believe? Do you believe? And then it says, he says, look, verse 15, "according to the Lord's word." Now that's a really interesting phrase, isn't it? Because there is nowhere in the Bible where the Lord has spoken about this in this way. At least I haven't found it yet. If you can find it, please let me know, because I don't want to be. Okay. But Paul seems to have had some revelation from the Lord, and he could well have done, of course. Or maybe it was a revelation to the disciples, and the disciples just haven't reported it elsewhere. But he says, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Isn't that amazing? We won't go before them, even if we're still alive. And the coming of the Lord, you know the word, is parousia. And the word parousia is quite important, because it is only used either for divinity or for kings and emperors. The top people, okay? And it's also used for the divine. The parousia. And it means the coming of the hidden divine. It means the coming of kings and emperors. And we'll see why it's important in a minute, because of the language that Paul used is to describe what's going to happen. And we will not precede them. You see, we often talk about this, we are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not just here, it's also in Colchester Road Baptist Church. I've seen a few people there on your cross. And down the road, St. Mary's, I think there's a few there. There's a few down the Shepherd's Baptist Church down there. And across the world is the body of Christ. We are all the body of Christ. And that divine link, of course, links us in death and in life. But then comes the how. You know, J. John used to say about preachers, he said, the thing about preachers is they tell you this and they tell you that and they tell you this and that and the other, but they never tell you how. And Paul actually does tell us how now. He says, how is it going to happen? Well, I tell you what. He said, this is what's going to happen. And he says here, for the Lord himself will come. Now, this is very important. You know, there are people who believe that somehow Jesus is going to come back in a sort of spiritual form, a mystical form, you know, it's rubbish. The beauty of this is, as the angel said, as the disciples in Acts 1 stood looking up into the sky where Jesus had gone to heaven in his ascension, they said, why are you looking in the sky? Because he's going to come back the same way when he comes. The same Jesus, the risen Christ, will come back, not some mystical form, not some, you know, angel, but the reality of the living Christ, the King, will come back. He's coming. Not some, you know, minister in training. Sorry. Strike that from the list. But not some person, but the King himself. The return. Not a vision. And it's a command. Look, he says, how's it going to happen? It's, there'll be a loud command, there'll be an archangel call, and a trumpet call. All of these are known, descriptive of the unique and future occurrence of the coming King Jesus. And then comes, in verse 16, the coming of the dead, the resurrection. Hallelujah. They will rise with him and come with him. Isn't that amazing? I can't visualize. Jan is a visionary. I'm one of these people who deals with words, as you probably might have thought. So I'm a word person, not a visual person. I can't do even stick insects, you know? So I can't visualize that. But if you can, keep it visually. because he's coming and he's going to come with him those who are asleep in Christ already. And then comes the rapture. Now, this is not ecstatic joy, as some might say, but it is a sudden, violent being caught up. It's quite a good idea, really, when you think about it, because some of us are quite earthly bound, and we may need that sort of violence to tear us away from some of our earthliness. It's not true necessarily, but I am delighted that God is not going to, you know, go gently with me. I want to be dragged. Come on, you know, get on with it. If I'm not paying attention, I want him to grab me up and take me out. And it's interesting that the dignitary visit of the parousia, the word parousia that we talked about, here the rapture is the word is apentesis, and that is where if a king visits a city, then that's a parousia, and the senior citizens will go out to meet him as he's coming in as part of his last part of his journey. That's the apentesis. That's the rapture. We go out, we are torn out to be there as leading citizens. How have we been there? To bring Christ in to reign as king. And it's lovely, you know, we will be everlasting with him in verse 14, with them, verse 17a, then with the Lord, 17 also. And Paul goes on, just in case, you know, because the automatic question of anybody is, okay, when's it happening, John? Come on, when's it happening? Well, if you read on to chapter 5, 1 and 2, you will find that Paul says, we don't know. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, Jesus said. A thief in the night doesn't actually usually tell you when he's coming. Doesn't book an appointment. Okay? And Jesus is not going to make appointments with us for his coming. But when he comes, we will know it. No question, we will know it. All we have to do is to be ready. You know, I love I didn't quite understand it when I first read it, but the virgins with their
oil.
Yeah, sorry?
Their oil.
Oh, their oil, that's it, thank you. I need prompting, you see. With the oil, and they, you know, some went in with fully, others with extra. How's our oil? Are we ready? And if we need more, do we know where to go? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we getting ready? Are we talking? Do we live our faith out there in a way that other people might say, there's something different about you? Because if people don't see the difference, why on earth should they be attracted to our Lord? If they don't see Jesus in us, and you know what breaks my heart at the moment is the church is all over the place. I don't talk about this church, but the church worldwide is all over the place, isn't it? We are blessing things that God never blessed, that the Word does not bless, and we're saying that's okay. And we're going with the world on inclusivity. What? What does that mean? It means we've got to put up with whatever they want, because after all, we shouldn't be oppressing people and telling them how to live, should we? Mm. Oh God, help us. Mm. And sadly, we as the church have lost, not in this church, by the sounds of all the things that are coming back, praise the Lord. Well done. Keep going. But we need to be ready for his coming again. And we need to be ready soon. You know, the world is looking for salvation from scientists, economists, leaders, but there's only one saviour. Jared reading Isaiah told us there's only one God and there never will be another. No choice. We can't have no choice. That's terrible. That's not allowed. I'm sure the European Ministry of Justice will have something to say about that. Golly. And whilst the world is ignoring God, God in his patience is turning up the heat. Do people really think that this climate change is a random coming about? Do people really think that COVID just happened down the road? It was just a, you know, read Revelation and see what you read. I understand you may be confused, many people have been, but the reality is God has warned us that he loves us enough not to allow us to go until we decide absolutely that we will not listen. And he will do everything he can to ensure that we have an opportunity to make a choice for him, because he knows that's the best for us. He made us, he loves us, and he wants us with him. And somehow the world has got it back to front because it wants to be God. Don't you tell me who God is. I'm God. This is my life. I do what I want with it. Sadly, that takes you on a handcart to hell if you continue. But God wants you in heaven with him. And we know that. We know that. So, where are you in your faith? Are you ready? Because he's coming. And he's coming soon. And when he comes, those of us who are still with him will be torn up. And those who have died in the faith will come back with him to see us into heaven. What a wonderful picture is that. Let's just pray. Father, we pray that you, in your mercy, would help us to get ready in any of the areas where we are not yet ready. Help us, Lord. Guide us, lead us, inspire us. Speak to us or shout at us if we need it, that we may honor you, that we may be ready for you, that we may be used of you on kingdom business in whatever way you choose it. Help us, Lord, as we seek you and listen for you. Help us, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.